Hey guys, take your passion and make it happen. You know how much I love that. You know, I finally really listened to that song. I haven't totally listened to that song all the way through, and it's talking about dancing and dancing through your life, and you can have what you want, and it's all right there for you. I really honestly think that's so true. How you doing, everyone? My name is Sienna Gold. That's Pam. Hey, Pam.
Hi there.
Good to see you. Rebecca's not here, but we do have the mystery engineer who is always there with us. The show's called Down to Earth. We're on every other month. No, we're on every month. Every third Monday. I guess I'm a little disoriented today. But really glad to be here, feeling great. It's gorgeous outside.
Yeah.
I love the weather. I love it when the weather changes. Although the cold is not that bad. So today I was kind of debating about what to talk about. And I decided to talk today about people who smoke cigarettes and weed and drink alcohol, all the fun stuff. I know there was a lot of that going on yesterday, a lot of celebrating. And I know that people tend to kind of have a problem with that sometimes. And, you know, just ingesting a little bit, imbibing and smoking a little too much. So I thought maybe we would talk about what's underneath that, because we tend to really look down on that, those behaviors. And I don't really look down on them myself. I think that there are underlying causes, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to kind of give yourself a break about it. It's not happening for nothing. You'll usually find underneath anger or frustration or sadness there. And, you know, those are also not okay with people. The way that we express tends to not be okay. You know, there'll be people who will be really angry underneath and often take it out on other people without really knowing that you're taking it out on other people. And then you get in trouble for taking it out on other people. And then you get in trouble, and then you go smoke something or drink something. So, yeah, I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that hamster wheel. Yeah, I know you had a few things to say about it.
I did. At my age of 71, I've done a lot of things in my past growing to this position. I did smoke cigarettes. I did smoke weed. And I've had my share of drinking when I was younger. Don't do it so much now. But every time something happened that would make me look at why I was doing this and how it would change. Basically, I felt like I was hiding.
When you say how it would change, what did you mean by change?
Well, for instance, I'll just say this, this little story about when I actually stopped drinking was when my stepfather was involved with a drunk driver and he died.
Oh.
And I started thinking about this poor young woman who was 23 years old. She had a fight with her boyfriend, went and got drunk, read a stop sign, and hit my dad's truck, which flipped. But anyway, her life was ruined. She had brain damage. She didn't die, but she was never at 23 years old going to be the same. And I felt really bad for her.
Yeah.
Because I think that sometimes we use drinking or smoking, whatever, as a crutch to help us get through whatever it is that we're needing to do.
Right.
And at that point, I just decided it wasn't worth it with the drinking. Mm-hmm. And I didn't stop anything else, but I did stop that.
Did you feel bad about drinking?
I felt it was dangerous.
You didn't feel bad about yourself for drinking?
No. I didn't feel bad because I was young and it was something that everybody did in their 20s. You know, that's what you did, right? That's what your peers all said that you needed to do. I felt bad because of what it could lead to. And at that point, I didn't want to, you know, there were so many things that had affected me negatively because of that poor young woman and the death of my stepfather. But I really, I wasn't angry at myself. I was just angry at the idea that people could get so down that they thought that this could make them feel better. And then it would do something like with this poor young woman that totally changed her life.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, and I don't know if she was like an addicted drinker or if this was a one-shot deal, but that's how I felt about the idea of not just drinking, because I'll have a glass of wine with Thanksgiving dinner or something, but getting drunk.
Well, you said something interesting. You said that there would be drinking too because you would think it would make you feel better.
Yes.
And what I think it does is makes you forget. And because I know a lot of people who drink and they really get down on themselves for having gotten drunk or drinking too much or drinking every day, even if it's a couple of glasses of wine, they're tipsy and they're like, oh gosh, I have a problem. Well, if you have a problem, so what? You know how I am now.
Yeah.
So don't get too mad at me. If you have a problem, then that is a signal for you to pay attention to that and give yourself a break, because it's a problem. A problem, gosh, what is a problem by definition? Where's my phone? What is a problem by definition? It means something that might need your attention. I don't have my phone here. If somebody wants to call in with the definition of a problem, I'd appreciate that. By the way, if you do want to call in and talk, the number here is 530-265-9555. Again, 530-265-9555. Feel free to call in about this subject. If you have another subject you want to call in about, that's fine too. If you want me to take a look at something in your life, I can do that too. But if it's a problem, if it's something you need to look at, then I encourage you to do that as you are beating yourself up.
Well, I wanted to say that now that you mentioned it and I'm looking back on it, I was just, I don't want to do this anymore because something bad is going to happen.
About the drinking?
About the drinking.
Well, so...
And I was down on myself for doing
that. Okay, this is like a classic example of what it is that I'm saying. I hear this all the time when I'll ask a person a question. I think we have someone calling. I ask a person a question and they say, oh, no, that wasn't me. I didn't have that issue going on. And then a few minutes later, they say, yep, I did. I actually did. That happens all the time. So that's another thing to pay attention to.
Are you in denial in the first place?
You're either in denial or you're unaware.
Okay.
Right. And unaware is okay. It's at the end of the day, it's about giving yourself a break for being who it is that you are. We have a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm just responding to the program that's happening right now, and I have the definition of problem.
Okay. Thank you.
So I have the definition. It's a matter or situation regarded as unwelcome or harmful and needing to be dealt with and overcome.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that is, I definitely think that drinking is a problem as well. This story hits me deep in the heart because my dad was an alcoholic and he drove drunk and killed two people and then did it again after that, and it completely altered my life. It altered my family's life. You know, the people who got killed, it altered their family's life. I don't think people realize how much of a ripple that one action, that one decision can create.
Right.
And it can change, you know, it can change families' lives for generations. And I still, you know, I struggle with that myself. Like, okay, I need to watch my limit because I know it's within me to have that capacity to be addicted like that. And so it's just very important to recognize and realize what is important in your life. Because
right.
I think every day, you know, like, why did he make that decision to take him away from my life like that? So just anyone who is listening and who has driven drunk or is thinking about it or, you know, has gotten a DUI, like, seriously consider how it's going to affect every single person in your life, because it does.
Right. That's awesome that you called in. I really appreciate what you had to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for the definition. And see, that's the thing, is that, yes, you do. It is a ripple effect, and you do affect a myriad people when you do things like that. But the thing about it is that the judgment, it's the judgment, really, that I'm addressing. The judgment that there is around the drinking, understood. It's impactful. It hurts people around you. And there's a reason for it. And that's what people don't seem to really fully understand, because while you are drinking because of some underlying issue, you're impacting people and they are putting you down and you're putting yourself down for drinking. But it's because of the underlying issue that you're drinking in the first place. So you really have nowhere to go. It's a double, triple, quadruple whammy. And I really feel that if people start to, and it's not like it's an unknown, right. You know, I think if you go to AA, they get you talking about what happened to you and looking at things. But the way I look at it is I ask people to start paying attention to how they're feeling just before they take a drink, or just before they smoke a cigarette or smoke some weed, just before it. If you remember, and you kind of have to train yourself to sort of pay attention, even if you start paying attention right after the first drink or during the drinking or during the smoking, just how am I feeling? What is it that I'm feeling? You know, if you can get to yourself to get to those feelings before you numb out. This is what will address the underlying experiences that you had that caused you to drink in the first place. Looks like you have something to say.
Well, it's just that when we judge ourselves, that doesn't actually give us the answer that we need as to why we're doing it. And I think it's good to look at why we're doing whatever we do, but not to judge ourselves, because I find that in the beginning, after my stepfather died, I was really angry. And then I realized that the reason I was angry was not angry at this young woman or at my stepfather for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, but angry because I had done things that now I looked at as being not a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was judgmental of myself. And I think we have to be able to look at ourselves without judging ourselves.
All right. So let's take a look at that.
Okay.
Because, you know, we worked together long enough. You know, I have something to say about something, about everything. Judgment is okay.
It is okay. All right. So we can do that.
Because you do it.
Well, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's okay because you do it. And that goes, I feel, with the way I look at life, that goes for everything. It's okay because you do it. And people will argue with me, you know, about different things. But at the end of the day, it is what you do. And when you start to pay attention and allow yourself room to do what it is that you do, including judgment, okay, including exclusion because of something that somebody does that you don't like, vilifying a person or even yourself, because something is happening that you don't like, you get to do that. There's a part of you that wants to do that, and that part gets to do it. You have other parts that might be more understanding, and that part gets to be there too. And that's the thing that I'm getting people to kind of see, is that you have so many different parts. You have so many different ways of being in your life that they all count and they're all equal. And they're all of value. They're all okay.
Good.
Even if you have the anger, there's anger a lot of times underneath the drinking. And you might be angry because of the way you were treated as a kid. You might be angry because of the way your mom was treated when you were a kid. You don't know. There are a lot of different scenarios. And it might not be okay to be angry. You could very well have been taught, you're not allowed to do that. You don't get angry. You know, what do you mean, young lady? Or blah, 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 you know, that sort of thing. Oh. And so then your anger is not okay all of a sudden. But that doesn't mean it's not going to still come out. It'll come out. It will show up somewhere in your life.
Yeah.
the way that you deal with people. You might talk to people in a way you don't even know how angry you are because you're not allowed to express it, but it has to vent in some way. And that's why I say, you know, it's if you have a behavior that you're not okay with, you get to not be okay with it, and you get to have the behavior that you're not okay with. That's the deal.
All right.
That makes sense to you?
Yes.
I know it does. I know it always, you're always like, yeah, I get that. But it's not always easy to remember.
No.
You know, it's not always easy to remember to give yourself a break for being who it is that you are. And it's also a little tricky because what I'm saying is, judge, you're allowed to judge and you're allowed to not like that you judge. Because that's how you are. That's who it is that you are.
Okay.
And so are we allowed to drink? Are we allowed to smoke weed or smoke cigarettes? Are we allowed to do those things to excess? What do you think?
People have got to do what they've got to do. Mm-hmm. I would not be the one to say, no, you can't do that, because I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
So by saying no, then that would put me in a place where I know I should not be and don't need to be. I think if people need to do it, then they have a reason why they need to do it, and that's what they ought to look at, is why in the heck am I doing this?
Well, the question then becomes, what do you do about all the negative input you get for drinking excessively, smoking cigarettes, period, even if you have one a day or whatever, you're going to die. This is cancer causing. This is not okay, which is true.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you're still not going to want to smoke. And the smoking weed, you're not present. You know, you're out in a whole other stratosphere when you smoke. And so there's a lot of negativity that you have to deal with when you do these things, which right. I think makes it worse. Then you're dealing with the underlying causes, and then you're dealing with the criticism about it. So is it okay to criticize? How do we handle that? You know what I mean? That's what I look at. Go ahead.
This is just me, but I can't criticize people for being who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it, because they are the only ones who can figure out how to not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I smoked for a lot of years.
Smoked what?
Cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
And weed. I don't do weed so much anymore, but I did do cigarettes for a lot of years. And I've been trying to quit. And every time I'd quit for a month, something would happen, and then I would start back up.
And how did you feel when you started back up?
Guilty.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Guilty. That's another one to take a look at. Why were you guilty?
Because I knew it was wrong.
Why is it wrong?
Mom, my mom smoked too much and had emphysema, and it eventually killed her.
All right, so it's wrong to... Go ahead. What were you going to say?
It's wrong to do it to the point that it creates a health hazard.
Okay.
Let's say somebody only did smoke one cigarette a day.
Mm-hmm.
That probably wouldn't be enough to give them emphysema.
Mm-hmm.
But if you smoked a pack a day, then it might.
Okay. So then the question becomes, what right does somebody have to smoke and endanger their health? What right do you have to do that?
I think you have every right. It's your
but
body.
That's not what the message is.
Well...
I was with someone the other day who, what did I do? I was eating late and sleeping. I slept in, you know, and it felt so good.
Yeah.
I slept in and this person was here for a couple of days visiting, and I got up and they looked at me kind of sideways and said, "Do you sleep this late all the time?" And I'm like, do I sleep this late all the time? This is in my head. Do I sleep this late all the time? Do I sleep this late all the time? I'm getting up feeling great. And I just looked and I said, why? Why are you asking me that question? And the reason was because, well, you know, their mom had slept that late and she was depressed. And when she was depressed, she slept that late. And I thought, okay, so I'm not allowed to sleep that late. Then I had to explain myself, which felt, I was just like, well, I don't want to say how I felt about that on the air. I wasn't a happy camper. Let me put it like that. And then that's the same person I was eating. You know, I eat late often. You know, I just do, and I work fine. My body works fine. My body's in great shape. And so we went out and came back, and I got myself a bowl of my favorite coconut ice cream with blueberries and, you know, and apples on top, and having a great, I was so excited, you know, and I'm going to go upstairs and watch a little TV, and I usually stay up for a few hours after so it digests. My friend says, "Are you eating? Are you eating?" And I'm like, yeah, I'm eating. And I... Are you eating a full meal? Are you eating a, what are you eating? And I just felt like, oh my goodness. You know, I can't live. I just felt like I can't live. And I understand that people's concerns are well placed. I totally get it. And I know that my friend's just looking out for me and wanting to make sure I'm healthy. But the way that I was approached, the way that it was, the tone, and actually the intent was just shaming.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So I would encourage people, not encourage people, but I would say take a look at how it is that you judge people who have an issue with substance. And the same goes for you. If you're the person who has an issue or a problem, if you will, with substance, because the problem by definition, as this woman called it and said, is something that's not okay that requires your attention. So perhaps it'd be to our advantage to not frame that issue as a problem, but rather as something that is a reaction to difficult circumstances that we experienced at different times in our lives. There's a reason that people drink too much. There's a reason that people smoke too much. And to them, it might not be too much. It might be, you know, the way it is that they want to do it. At the end of the day, I think, you know, I feel like crying because I must be feeling people come through the ethers to get a sympathetic kind of some sympathy for something that they generally have a challenge controlling. You know, if you're drinking and smoking or smoking and you don't know really what to do about it and you feel guilty at the end of the day because you're offending people around you. Yeah. And you find it offensive yourself because you can't really function properly. I just really feel the way is to give yourself a break. And we talked about judgment in our last show.
Yes.
And that's kind of what brought me to an emotional feeling today. And how people's judgment impact each other. It kind of makes things worse, I think. It makes it harder for you to be able to step back and take a look at why you're doing X, Y, and Z, because you got to swim through a sea of guilt and painful judgment. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You had mentioned something about Daryl too, when he was the only thing that was working for him was marijuana.
Yes. When Daryl was diagnosed with cancer, we changed a lot of things.
Daryl is
my husband,
who
passed away in 2017. We were together 44 years, which was kind of, you know, made our lives pretty good. And but we changed our diet because we had read somewhere that the American Cancer Society said that 1/3 of all cancer is caused by diet. So we went 100% organic, and we quit smoking, and we did all these other things. Well, we quit smoking cigarettes. He didn't want to take any over-the-counter or prescription medication for his pain and his cancer. So he used cannabis, and that was all he used for his pain during the whole 7 years that he was sick with this cancer. Mm. And it worked. For mm-hmm. him. It really did. It was, you know, it was legal. He could do it legally. It wasn't like he was sneaking it. We had medical marijuana certificates and things. But I really found that under his circumstances, he wasn't using it to hide anything. Mm. He maybe in his younger days, but when it came to using it for a pain medication, it took on a different thing with him.
Did he smoke it every day?
Oh, all the time.
All the time. Oh, so he's okay.
Right.
He's okay smoking all the time.
Right.
But, you know, Joe Blow over there smoking every day for 25, 30 years is not okay.
No.
So, yeah. So I yeah.
See what I'm saying? He had a handle on doing
right.
that.
And well, okay. So his awareness was a little different than Joe
right.
Blow. Okay.
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
But I think everybody has a reason. I smoked cigarettes for comfort. I couldn't smoke where I worked, see, so I would come home, and the first thing I would think about when I got home from work was that cigarette. And I started thinking about when we finally quit about why that was. And there was a comfort. And I quit a long time ago, but now I actually feel there are times when I feel a lack of comfort and that thought comes to my mind, maybe I should do that. And then, of course, this little voice says, no, don't do that. But I think that everybody has a reason underlying why they do it. And Utah and I talked about we're hiding from something. We want some kind of comfort. Something happened to us in our youth that made us want to do this.
Right.
But then, you know, there are people who do it and have it under control.
Right, right.
And so I can't say that everybody who smokes weed is bad, everybody who smokes cigarettes is bad, or anybody who drinks is bad. They all have their underlying reasons for doing that. And I think that's what your show and everything is all is. They need to think about
why in the heck I'm doing this in the first place. By the way, speaking of the show, my name is Sienna Gold. I'm here with Pam.
Yeah.
And Pam, what's your last name again?
Davis.
Pam Davis.
Yeah.
And she's my perpetual guest on the show, my sidekick. I'm so happy to have you. The show's called Down to Earth, and we're on once a month, every third Monday of the month at noon, 12:06 actually, after the news. Also, the views expressed on this show are those of the speakers only and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. And if you'd like to call in to talk about this subject or any other subject, I'm totally open to that. The number here is 530-265-9555. If you would like ever to get hold of me, you can go to kvmr.org. I do work with people who are trying to wake themselves up out of this stupor we call life, which is so awesome and so odd at the same time. And my number is 530-477-8008. And my website is feelslikegold.com. F as in Frank, E-E-L-S as in Sam, likegold.com. Or again, you can go to kvmr.org and find me there. Oh, boy. Do we ever get to be ourselves? I mean, like, for real. Do we ever really get to be who it is that we are? I don't know. Maybe it's when we're the tiniest of tiny. And that's for a short time.
I also think when we're the oldest of old.
Right.
Right?
That's true.
You know, when we've been there and done that and have learned throughout our life, my father just turned 100 years old in November. And I was thinking about how 100 years worth of memories
yikes
would feel.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, does he now at 100 years old get to say, I'm myself?
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe, like you said, when you're first born, you don't have any hang-ups at that point. But do you get to work through them all by the time you've lived 100 years?
Yeah.
That's a whole other show. But that
that's
to me,
an interesting show, actually.
I would think so as well. I mean, at what point do you get to be yourself? That was a good question. At what point do we accept that who we are is who we're supposed to be?
Well, allow is the word I would use,
well,
rather,
allow,
you know,
okay.
me. But I honestly, I really think that this not being ourselves, the difficulties that we're experiencing, we have some guy at the helm here in this country who is very interesting. And, you know, I just think at the end of the day, it's all in order. I don't feel that it's about making the world different, or that we have a problem, if you will, on this planet. I feel that I feel emotional all of a sudden again. I feel it's a place to work things out. I really do. I feel that it's already exactly the way it needs to be, and that it'll shift based on how we shift. Like, it's not that the planet is an issue, or the Earth is an issue, or life is an issue. I don't really feel, or a problem. I don't feel that's it. I feel that our perspective of it is what makes it a yay or a nay. And when you start to make room for who it is that you are, no matter what that looks like, whether you're an alcoholic or, you know, you smoke a lot of cigarettes or whatever, when you start to make room for that, and little by little you get to make room for who it is that you were and how you were treated as a little kid, you change, and that shifts what happens in the world. Just the same way as that woman who called with the definition for the problem said that she experienced, everyone experienced a ripple effect as a result of what happened with her dad. Yeah. It's the same thing. We will experience a ripple effect. And, you know, a lot of people complain about life and how horrible the world is. And, you know, look at what's happening with the president and how awful he is. Excuse me. If you know anything about me, first of all, you know I don't vote, which I know I'm going straight to H, you know what, because of that, according to a lot of people. What do you mean you don't vote? Well, I don't vote because I don't participate in that system. I'm not really interested in that system, in the system that's got us all caught up. And with that in mind, I also, we have talked about this before, feel that the president that we have in office right now is shaking things up. So people are really getting more and more honest about who it is that they are. They're coming out from the shadows, which I think is fantastic. And which I think it's a really important thing. And that's really what this subject, what we're talking about today, is coming out from the shadows. And I don't do shadow work. I'm not into that and the dark side and coming into the light and all that stuff. No, that's a no for me. But I do feel when I'm talking about, I'm literally talking about the way that we used to talk about shadows when I was growing up, and that there was no connotation to it. Coming out and being yourself is really what I'm talking about. And, you know, another thing that I want to just kind of mention here is your health at the end of the day means how your body is functioning, whether it's functioning well or not. And it'll function differently depending on what it is that you ingest, the end.
Well, yes.
Okay, so that's another factor in what it is that goes on. If you drink too much, your body can't function at its peak. And if you smoke too much, or if you smoke weed too much, your body can't function at its peak, generally. Sure. You know, that's a gross generalization. There might be people who can bypass that 100% and be just fine. I've talked to plenty of them. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. I'm just fine. I'm fine. I'm better when I'm high. But just over a little bit as an aside note about your body and how it works, and maybe we should do a show about this, but I spoke with a medical intuitive who has just blown me away. I had a 2-hour consultation. He took a look at me remotely. It was on the telephone, and he was naming all the systems with this specific technical jargon that was amazing to me. And he looked and he said, "Whoa, your blood is so clean, you know, and this is so, your bone marrow, blah, 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 blah." And he gave me a prescription, if you will, of ways to eat. He told me he shifted my eating. He gave me a very mild, as he said, liver cleanse, and also gave me something because he said my brain activity is quite large and quite unusual. And I know I take in a lot. You know, it's just who I am. It's what I'm built for. And he said, yeah, we've got to do something to help your body work with all of that that you're bringing into it. And I know that. Oh, I feel like emotional again. What I just saw was this planet is so odd. And as I've said so many times, there's nothing solid on the planet. You know, our bodies are not solid. These are cars, as far as I can see. This is a car that I'm in, and I am motivating this car, and I am using this voice right now to send messages out to people through this medium that's called radio, if you will. And the thing is that we don't think that way. We're oriented to think that things are wrong or bad, or we have to fix them or heal them. You know, I'm not a big fan of healing because I don't think we're wounded, and I don't think it works that way. And I can see you're chomping at the bit. What are you going to say?
Well, healing in itself is something that we need to do for ourselves. We can go to all the healers in the world, but if it's not meant that we should do that outside of ourselves, that we need to do it from the inside. And I think that a lot of people expect that they would go to all these outside healers and that they're going to have the answers. And I don't think that. I think the answer has got to come from within you.
Okay, let me say this about that. I agree with you. And I do feel that depending on where it is that you are in your awareness, healing makes perfect sense. Okay? And the way to get to the kind of healing that you're talking about, yeah, it's from the inside. You work from the inside.
Right.
What I'm saying is that there's nothing to heal because we are in bodies that are not solid. I'm moving this body around. I'm animating this body, whatever it is that I am at the end of the day, you know, because whatever it is that I am leaves this body when it breaks down, which is what it does. Okay. I leave this body. No, I am not talking about my name is E.T. That's not what I'm saying. I don't really understand how this works or what it is. And as you know, if you listen to my show, you know, the show's called Down to Earth because I'm really nuts and bolts just trying to get to work with what it is that I can't explain. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
That's my whole purpose is kind of like there are a lot of things we can't really explain, and I can't personally kind of gloss things over. I'm not a gloss things over kind of person. I never have been. And so this is how I look at things. I know my body is moving around right now, and I know there's sound coming out of this voice box, and I know that I will leave this body, whatever the heck I am, I'm going to leave this body at some point. So with that in mind, I feel that I just lost my train of thought. Woo, I just zoomed right out of that body. With that in mind, I feel that it's not about being wounded. There's a call coming in. It's about having experiences here that we as humans don't fully understand because we don't really understand what's going on. So we create systems based on that lack of understanding.
Right.
So then we need to be healed. Which I don't think that's the deal. Let's see. Do you want to have something to say?
No, go ahead.
Okay, let's see who's calling in. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I really appreciate what you're talking about. I'm a little bit of a, what do you call it? Not so much a skeptic, but a bit of a believer in reincarnation.
Okay.
And that part of us that you were speaking of, that it's really not really describable. Some people call it spirit. Some people call it soul. I call it myself, you, the individual, the person that resides in that vessel, which is the body, as you say. And I think I agree with you. It's not so much healing, but it's decluttering. you know, kind of like a spring.
You said decluttering?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
It's decluttering, spring cleaning, kind of getting rid of reshaping, reassessing, rearranging all of our experiences and all of our emotions and all of the details who make our vessel and who we are.
I love that.
And yeah, so that's kind of, I got into thinking like that when I took some Ayurvedic classes, and they talk a lot about karma and the karma that comes with you in your spiritual journey, and the karma that you accumulate when you're in this physical experience.
Right.
So that kind of goes together with that, and that's why I call it kind of spring cleaning, decluttering, because you're dealing with all of that stuff that you've gathered throughout your life and lifetimes.
Right. What's your accent? Where's that from?
Well, I was born in Mexico City.
Oh, okay.
Until I was 10. My grandpa, from my father's side, was Basque.
From the
Spanish side of the Basque country.
I knew I heard something. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I
like to call it a very fluid accent, because I tend to adopt the accents of the people that I'm surrounded by.
Yeah, well, that's...
hanging out with.
That's so very cool. Well, I want to address what it is that you were talking about, because first of all, for me, I don't understand anything about karma. I don't get karma. Maybe it's so, or I don't know. I don't feel karma. That's not to say that I don't think that there are not lifetimes, because I kind of have a feeling that there are, that we do lifetimes. How? I don't know. When you talk about karma and that you've done stuff that you have to pay for lifetime after lifetime or clear or whatever, that doesn't feel, I don't get that. Yeah, that's just me, though. You know, I just have a different way of looking at things. But I do understand what it is that you're saying. And the way I think that I see decluttering, for me, I call it composting. And you take all of that pain that you're in and frustration and the fear and everything, and we just compost it. And it turns into a soil, a rich soil, and we use that to support what it is that's moving that body around ultimately. Cool. And also, I'm with you too. Did you have something to say?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing.
Oh, okay.
When I heard about karma, that same thing happened to me. It didn't really make sense because, we don't really do anything wrong or right, like you're saying. It's more we experience. And at that moment, it just so happened that it was maybe not something that we agreed with or wanted to experience.
Right.
We have to deal with whatever that brought up.
Yep.
In us, or that attached to our experiences. So,
you know, that's,
and, yeah.
If you think about all that we're taught and how everybody is trying to figure out what's going on, every religion, and we were going to do a religion show, we're trying to wait for Rebecca because she spent a lot of time in religion. But everybody, the religions are all trying to explain what all happens, and everybody's right. Everybody is right. My religion is right, you know, and the Bible is right, and everything that we've been taught and everything are right. And when I was a little kid, I was in every church I could go to because nothing seemed right to me at all. But one thing that did run through each one, because everybody was saying something different and they were all right, but they had one thing that was the same, and that was this inexplicable, I don't know if you want to call it energy or whatever. Today in my life, I call it whatever grows the plants, just like you have your thing, what it is that you call it. And I believe or feel, I'm wide open to shifting this, that we are an aspect of that, whatever it is that grows the plant. So just like what you said, that's us at the end of the day, I have a feeling that that's exactly what the deal is, that whatever it is that grows the plants, we are doing that. And you hear that You hear that in the different religions. But it's like surrounded with the human stuff. You know, like marriage and what I mean? And all the rituals like I said, the Lilliputians. It just reminds me of those Lilliputians. Well, I can hear you trying to get a word in edgewise while I'm running my big fat mouth. Go ahead.
I tend to do that so that I don't lose whatever I'm thinking about, you know, so it doesn't float away. Those would be anchors, you know, because people are so afraid of not understanding their experience, so afraid of not having an experience that they tend to create details to keep them from floating away, so to speak. You know, marriage and all the dramas and all the traumas that happen in the physical world that people need to feel like they, or people think they need to feel like they're alive and surviving and there's something.
And you know, that I'm so 100% with you. And with the people that I work with, what I find is that where I take them is so unhinged, unanchored, that it's really scary where we go. The people I work with generally have done a ton of work on themselves, as I always say, and they're either stuck or they don't know where to go from here. But they've done so much work and tried this and tried that. They've done the meditating and the ayahuasca and the classes and the courses and the books and the this and the that and the religion, and they're still confused and don't quite know where to go. And then we go, you know, I take you there, and it's really scary because it's interesting because it kind of incorporates and composts everything that you've been taught and believe as a human being. I challenge every single aspect of your life as a human. And I always tell people that my client, the one that I'm really after, is behind those eyeballs. It's the part of you that's moving the body around. That's who I really wind up working with. Hold on one second. I know you've got something to say, but let me just tell people my name is Sienna Gold, because we're getting close to the end of the show. And this show is called Down to Earth. I'm here with my wonderful friend Pam Davis, who is love and my little sidekick here. So glad to have you. And we're on once a month, every third Monday of the month at noon. And just FYI, the views expressed on this show are those of the speakers only and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, our staff, volunteers, or contributors. Just FYI, folks. And so did you have something else to say there, Mr.
Bosk? Well, the last thing is, like you were saying, you take them to where they can see themselves, and that can be scary for people because, you know, it gives you a certain amount of responsibility for yourself.
And right. You can't there hide you go.
You can't hide anymore.
you can't.
You got to get
That's
for it.
Right.
You know? So that in itself can be pretty daunting and scary.
Well, the thing, too, the way that you get there, the way that you get to taking responsibility for yourself is super scary because the way that you get there is by going through the pain that took you away from understanding that or living that responsibility in the first place. When you're really, really little and you come out, you know, boop, out of the womb, you are in touch with that thing that scares the crap out of us. And then little by little, you're surrounded, you're swaddled with pain and experiences and things that keep you away. And then you go to the explanation of all that stuff, which actually, in essence, really keeps you further away. Even as I'm talking, I have a feeling, and I've said this before, that we are in some ways, because of this whole power play that we've got going on, kept in the dark like this on purpose. And because it makes you easier to control if you are confused and kind of spread out. Go ahead. I hear you needing to talk. What?
No. I'm kind of.
You're, oh, okay. I think the powers that be understand that humans have a lot more going for them than we're taught. you know, I see it in myself now that I've gotten to where it is that I am in my life. My life has gotten amazing because I'm free. I'm pretty free. And so anyway, Pam, did you have anything to say?
I just wanted to make one quick remark about the healing. We're going to have to do a show on this.
Okay, that
point.
Sounds like great.
I didn't want to make people think that they shouldn't go to healers because I think this is important if that's what you need. I am a healer, and people come to me for healing, and that's fine. I think, though, that we need to understand what kind of healing it is that we really need.
Yeah.
And the people that come to you are at that point where they need to hear what you have to say.
But they're not coming to me for healing.
In a sense, it is a healing for themselves. But I know you don't go with that, but that's okay.
Yeah.
To me, healing means becoming aware of where it hurts.
Okay. If somebody could look up healing, that'd be great. Let me get my phone. Hold on.
I think it's more a reaffirmation. It's kind of like, am I doing this right for your own self? Not so much for you're seeking a healing. Help me heal.
Right. Hold on a second. I hear you. Let me look under healing definition. We only have a few minutes left. Healing definition. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm just going to step away because I got to get to my next gig.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
We're doing this, and we'll talk later on.
You bet. Great. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. The process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. Synonyms: alleviate, assuage, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, relieve, ease, help, soften. To make free from injury or disease, to make sound or whole. I don't think we're injured.
No.
And I don't think we're diseased.
No.
And that's the thing.
The last part that just before you read that part where it said something about relieve.
Right. Those were some of the synonyms.
Right.
Right.
I would go with healing more in that. You're not there
in
to
that
cure.
Right.
Right.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. So this is the end of the show. Thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything else to read? No, we're cool. All right. Once again, the views expressed on this show are those of the speakers only, are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. Just want to make sure you get that. My name is Sienna Gold. This show is called Down to Earth. Thank you for joining me, Pam, and our mystery engineer, who is so awesome. And we're on once a month, every third Monday. See you next time.